Somebody did. Hey, everybody. Ugh. Well, I think this going back and forth thing is officially fucked out. And I'm very over it. Just don't know if I can, You know, I've only got to go out two more times for three more classes. So I know I'm going to make it. But my God. My God, am I tired of doing it. There's a guy who did this last time, I guess, and he flew out from Kentucky. So it's like, I don't know, 5 to 7 hours, something like that, in the air. Plus layovers, because he had to, you know, the flight was kind of expensive, so he had to take non-direct flights most of the time. And I'm just like, fuck that, man. Like, I just don't think that would be possible. From here, it's like 2.5, 3 hour flight. You know, add in a couple hours of driving and airport and all that, and it's like, this is about the limit. You know what I mean? Any further than this, and I think I'd be like, I don't know. It's one of those things, too, like, I don't think I would try it again. But I'm glad I did, because if I hadn't, I think I would always wonder, like, what it had been like, you know what I mean? What I would have gotten out of it. So that's something. I guess, you know, there's a price we pay to know. Just, you know, to not have a question. And I think that's usually a good thing to try. Just not have to worry about. I was just thinking about, I don't know why, but I was thinking about, I have this friend, and he got a job, and it was like working, decorating sets, basically, for TV shows, right? And he liked doing it the best when they were in, like, I don't know, they were in Mexico or something like that. And he said it was awesome, because at the time they were there, most places, you know, had receipts, but the receipts were, like, very nonspecific, right? So what you would do is you would charge a bunch of stuff to the receipts, and then or you'd charge a bunch of stuff to your card. Like, you'd go to a restaurant and you'd just get, like, a bunch of booze and stuff, but, you know, or you go to the grocery store and get booze, and it didn't really specify what you were buying. It's non-itemized receipts. And then the next time they did it, he was like, someone on the crew had this brainstorm, and what they did was they just bought a receipt printer, and then they basically, he's like, you know, we could buy anything we wanted as far as, like, food, booze, drugs, whatever, and then pay for it with, like, petty cash or per diem or whatever, and then, you know, you just you print up a receipt, and you just put Home Depot at the top. I think an appealing thing to me is whenever someone's trying to, like, get one over on the man, I think that's always, like, a good one. Not that there was really the man in that story, but just kind of, like, a scam that doesn't really hurt anyone directly is very appealing. You know, a scam that's kind of a scam light. I think I like my scams to either be very extremely light in terms of, like, okay, no individual was affected by that, right? It's like this production company that probably has a shitload of money, and they're throwing a shitload of money at it, and it's like, eh. You know, it's not like one guy. It's like, well, the production money comes out of your paycheck, and he's like, kids, no college for you, because these fuckers came up with a good idea. Also, I think I have a respect for it when it's, like, a good idea. It's kind of like the appeal of the heist movie, right? In the heist movie, it almost feels like they earned it, doesn't it? Like, I mean, maybe not even almost. Maybe it totally feels like they earned it. Because by the time they, like, assemble this team of, like, 15 people, and, you know, they've surveillanced and had some close calls, and friends become enemies, enemies become friends. By the time all that shit goes down, you're like, I mean, they've put in hourly. If they had all gotten jobs at Arby's and put this much in hourly and put this much effort in, If they had all decided to just scrape together a small amount of money and manage an Arby's franchise, and then they're like, I'm going to work as hard at managing, promoting, working this Arby's franchise as I would robbing a bank, I think they would be doing pretty good. Don't you think? I kind of think so. But there you go. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But I think that that's what we like about it, is you don't feel, it doesn't feel as much like stealing as like lifting some guy's wallet, right? Because then you kind of feel bad for that guy. And you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his life circumstance is or what this other person's circumstance is, but it just seems more wrong because you kind of like took it from this person instead of taking it from nobody. But anyway, I just don't think I ever told that story before, and now I have. So there you go. Trying to tell the story is the tales that need to be told. Tales as old as time, Beauty and the Beast, etc. Well, I have a disturbing report. So I wore my glove full of Vaseline, and I wrote the column. And then Hoonmaster Flex was like, let me feel your hands. And she's like, was this one the glove one? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, it is a little softer. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, you've got these calluses on your hands, and like around the calluses, it's quite a bit softer on this one. And the back of your hand is also softer. And I was like, well, holy shit. So there's something to it. So what Hoonmaster Flex is saying is, everybody, gentlemen out there, raise your hands, put a glove on them. And this isn't a condom metaphor or, you know, what do you call those? Euphemism. This is serious shit. Man, am I tired. Got a job interview. A phoner for Portland. You know what's funny is, like, I call back. So here's something that people do on the phone that makes me unhappy. People will get on the phone, and then they do this to me at work a lot. Like, they'll leave me a message because they need help. You know, oh, I need help finding consumer reports info on laptops. And I'm like, I can do that for you. And then they'll be like, and my name is da-da-da. And the very last 2 seconds of the message is their phone number, almost seeming like they're saying it as fast as they possibly can. And I'm like, you know, the most important information is your phone number. And if anything, if you had told me your phone number, if I had gathered what your phone number was, I could call you back. You know what I mean? And find out the rest of it. But if I know everything else and not your phone number, there is like nothing I can do for you. Right? I mean, I could do the thing, but you'll never know. It'll never help you. Can anyone explain to me why side dump trailers have become like the new dump truck? You don't really see dump trucks around so much as you see these side dump things. It's because it doesn't leave a big pile? It's like easier to spread out or something? What is it? What are they dumping out of these trailers? What's happening? Ugh. This is Truck City, man. Roadworks are, like, really the worst, aren't they? I don't know. It's, like, one of the worst things in the world. We just read this story, and it makes you sympathetic to a road worker. I don't think I hate road workers. I think I just hate road work. You know, and you're just in it, and you're like, well... And it never ends. That's the thing, right? It's one of those things about life that sucks and is always happening. And, like, I just don't understand how it seems like fairly often, like, I'm just driving, and there's guys by the road. There is, like, 3 guys, 4 guys doing literally nothing. I mean, standing there leaning on their shovels. One guy is just kind of, like, whipping this thing back and forth, you know, just standing around. Another guy leaning on a shovel. There's one guy working, and he's just cleaning off his, I don't know what you call that thing, but the thing you use to smooth out concrete, the hand tool. And it's just like, it's just amazing. It seems like how conspicuously they aren't working a lot of the time. It seems like what road work people must do is work super hard, like an hour a day, and then whatever. I remember this time I was like looking at Google Maps nearby where I lived, and it was the university and whatever, and at the time the Google Maps car had gone through, they'd been doing road work. So there was like a bunch of... Oh my god. This is horrible. It's like a left turn lane this truck is trying to be in, but is not moving into. So I'm just like stuck. And there's a truck behind me, so I can't get away. It's like, get in the lane already. What are you waiting for? And they're always like standing, you know, these guys are just standing. They're not facing the traffic at all. They're all standing around watching a guy in a tiny steamroller drive over something. And you're just sort of like, how many people does it take to do this? And like, what do you need? More tools? More material? I don't understand. I just wish, you know what I wish? I wish road work would just be like, listen, if you're not doing a thing, go stand in, we'll have like a tent out there, and just go stand in the tent so no one can see you. Because if there's 8 people in the tent and 1 guy working, when I drive by, I see, well, there's an unknown number of people in the tent, could be 0, and the only guy, 100% of the people I saw were working pretty hard. The end. But when you're like all just standing around, I don't know. It's total confirmation bias, right? It's like you see them and you're looking for them to be not doing anything. But it's also like a weird, non-self-aware thing, because it's like when you're in an industry, right? You got to be aware of what everyone thinks. Like everyone thinks that because you're in this industry, you do that, right? Or because you're in that industry, you're like this. And so for them, it's sort of like if I was a stockbroker, I would probably try and go out of my way not to like conspicuously spend and be sort of an asshole, because everyone would think that you're like an asshole who's just in it for himself and just cares about money, right? Or if you're like an IT guy, it's like, hey, just be aware everyone's going to assume you're a nerd. And, I might be more aware of something like just my general nerdy habits. I might tone it down in the workplace because I'd feel like, you know, I'm already like 90% there. So no need to crank it up to a million. But I think that like road work, right? The thing there is everyone's like, they're not doing shit. And they seem to just be fine with that. They seem to be like, no one thinks we do anything, and it is what it is. You know, you can't please everybody. Blah. It also seems weird because, like, the one guy who's always working is always doing something, you know, it looks, he's like digging a small hole with a shovel. And you're just like, you guys have got all these fucking machines and shit. Like, we invented the chainsaw. How have we not invented the chain shovel or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, why are you digging this tiny post hole by hand doing all this crap? You know what I mean? I don't get it. There's a lot I don't get about road crew. Now, and I don't really blame them. It's not like I'm like, fuck this guy or whatever. This guy read a short story and it was, you know, based around a guy on a road crew, and people were being assholes and like throw shit at him or flipping him off or screaming at him all the time, which I'm like, I totally buy that people do that, because, you know, I mean, people are assholes. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I'm mad about it. Like, I'm not happy. I'm not gonna pretend like I don't think I'm at the level yet where I could drive by and salute them for their service, but I don't hate them. I don't think it's their fault that this is all fucked up, right? It's like, hey, man, it's not your fault that this fucks up my drive every day. I know that's not your goal. You don't wake up in the morning going like, how can we fuck it up for Pete today? I know. Let's take the road he likes and just do road work on it. I do think, though, one of the things I don't like is, you know, fines doubled in work zone. I feel like if you get clocked in the area and there's no people around, you know what I mean? Because, like, those signs, they don't take them down on the weekend or something. And, like, you'll drive through and you're like, there's nobody here working. Come on. Come on. I don't know. It seems like a dangerous job, though. It seems like just, you know, being on the side of the highway is dangerous. Like, you get a flat or something. It's not, you want to just get out of there as fast as you can and then get, you know, get the tire on and get out of there. But, like, being on a road crew is, like, that's basically where you go to work every day. Is your office is, like, the place that we all sort of try to avoid being. So there you go. I don't know. What do I know from road crews? What do I know about anything? I don't know shit about fuck. Worst person from the trip? Plane ride out. A guy who was in the middle and had no problem taking up, you know. He just kept hitting me with his elbow, and it was very annoying to me and apparently not to him. And then the thing that really pushed it over the edge, though. So we fly in. Probably when we start, you know, when they're like, okay, well, the captain's turned the fastened seatbelt on. We're making our approach for, you know, whatever. And so you're like, all right, so we got like about a half hour left. This guy, when that happens, you know, wakes up and gets out like a Nintendo Switch, which first pissed me off because I was like, I want a Nintendo Switch. And further pisses me off because I, you know, I wouldn't buy a Nintendo Switch because I'm like, oh, that's too extravagant. You know, that's too expensive. Meanwhile, I've spent like $1,400 on gum grafts in the last 2 months. And you're just like, well, I have to, because that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I guess I have the money to spend on it, because I haven't bought a Nintendo Switch. But you're just like, I think Nintendo Switch, you know, my face was fucking killing me. I think the plane, the pressure on the plane. Because the most painful days, too, when I went last week, were like the day I flew out, like that night, it was killing me. And then the next day, too, it was, like, just throbbing pain. And I was like, oh, my God. Why is this happening? Why does this hurt so bad right now? But, regardless. So this guy takes out the Nintendo Switch. And he's playing it and whatever. And we land and he's still playing. And people are, like, getting off the plane. Now, he's got, like, a carry-on bag. He's got his coat. He's got all this shit. You know, and it took him a lot. It's like, he's getting out his Switch, and it's a case inside of a case inside of a case kind of thing. And so then as people are getting up and moving, I'm like, this motherfucker is not going to be ready to go in time. Like, he kind of looks up and sees, I see him look up and notice that, you know, okay, people like three rows ahead of us are getting off the plane. And while it takes for fucking ever to get off the plane after you land, when it's like three rows ahead of you, you're like a minute away at most from getting off the plane. It goes fast as it approaches you. It's sort of like, you know, like a giant wave where it looks like it's moving super slow and it's super giant, but then as the scale changes and it gets a lot closer, you're like, holy shit, that thing's going fast. Or a car. Like, as it's far off, it looks like it's slow as shit, but then when it gets close, you're like, okay, that's going super fast. Sort of like that, getting off the airplane. So I'm looking at this motherfucker, and he doesn't put it away until it's, like, our time to get up. And he puts it, and then he's, like, hurriedly zipping it, and then he's, like, trying to stuff it in his bag. And he's doing all this. He stands up and blocks the aisle, and he's futzing with his bag, which is set on the aisle seat. And then he puts everything in his bag, and then he's standing there and putting on his coat, you know, before he gets off the plane. Everybody behind him, including myself, is just waiting for him. You know what I mean? And it's like, do this while we had 3 hours. in the air to play Nintendo Switch, my friend. And also, we landed. The wheels touch down. We have like a half hour until, you know, you're really need to get off the plane. And it's like, you had all the time in the world, but you waited until just now. You know, or like, it's been making me crazy in the airport because I'm extra grumpy because I'm in a little pain. But it's been making me crazy how many people, like, block the entrance or exit to the moving walkway. Or, like, there's this group of, like, young guys. I don't know if they were high school or college because I can't tell anymore because I'm old. And they're, like, getting off the plane. And then they're just sort of meandering around, and they're all just standing in front of the entrance to the moving walkway, deciding whether or not they're all going to get on or not. And then they all get on, and they clog the whole thing. And you're just like, motherfuckers. Like, these are people who've never had anyone in their lives yell at them to get the fuck out of other people's way. I know I've said it before, but that was like one of the few things my dad did that was good. Was he would get really mad he did not tolerate, like, you standing in a stupid spot. Like, if you were at the airport with my dad and you walked down the stairs somewhere and then just stood right where the stairs empty out, he would give you, like, a 10-minute lecture about, like, why you shouldn't stand there and just move off to the side and you don't need to stand there. It's like, he's like the, well, he's not. That view is the hero that we need today, though. I think phones have made it a lot worse because it's like people, you know, aren't paying attention to what's happening in front of them. They're paying attention to, like, what's right below them. But holy fuck. I mean, it's enough to make you crazy. I think this would be the worst thing about being, like, a traveling businessman, is I would just sort of feel always, like, enraged. Like this. I would just always feel like, my God.
The world is ruined and there's no coming back.
Because nobody can pay attention and nobody's thinking about, like, anybody else. You know what I mean? They're all just thinking about, like, okay, where do I need to go? I need to stop and collect myself. And it's like, move over to the side. There's, like, plenty of, in the airport, there's a lot of, like, confusing shit. There's a lot of signs. There's a lot of directions. But you know what else there's also a lot of? The side to move over to. Like, everywhere you are, there's always the side that you can, like, move over to and get out of everyone else's way. And I really endorse and encourage that you do that. Because it just makes it so much easier. And then it's like everyone would get through so much faster. Oh, my God. Ah. It's like, I feel like all I can do is complain about the airport, which is what I used to do, but it was like every 4 months or something, because I wasn't flying every week. But it's terrible. I mean, I don't know. I know there are people out there. It's funny because I'm like having this really sympathetic thing because I never thought, you know, like comedians complain about being on the road or like, you know, authors will talk about book tour. Like, it seems that they don't really enjoy going on book tour. And I never really understood why, and now I totally get it. Because it's just like, your entire life just turns into this sequence of, like, frustrating experiences. You know, it'd be kind of like going on a book tour, I think, would be really fun, as far as, like, you'd go and if fans were there and shit like that. But it's like, in order to have that experience, you're going to have to basically, every day is laundry day, grocery store day, and you also have to go to the DMV and the bank. And take, you know, a bag of shit to Goodwill and, like, just basically do all these little tasks that we all have to do that are so boring and dumb and that we all hate, right? And I think that's kind of what it would be like. I mean, I feel like what it's like now. It's kind of interesting, though. Like, they don't really do book tours anymore. Like, this is something that publishers, even a big author, like, even a Chuck Palahniuk, who not only is, like, a pretty big author, but is a pretty big, like, tourer, I mean, he really... He can pack the house, like, every time he goes somewhere. And they still, like, his new book comes out May 1st, and I think they're only sending him to, like, five cities or five... Somewhere between five and eight, you know, readings or whatever.
But... I don't know. I guess it's just something that's in the culture.
But I was talking to... I think I was talking to Poon Master Flex about this. Maybe. Maybe it was someone else. I do think, though... No, it was someone at work. I do think there's going to be, like, a turn back to the real. Like, spending time with people and not doing phone shit and whatever. I kind of had this whole idea for library programming that was for... teenagers that was like non-screen oriented, you know what I mean, like whatever it was, and to the point where it's like, all right, when you get here you have to like put your phone in this box, you know what I mean? I'm not even gonna put a lid on the box, it's just like, just so you're not tempted to use it, and let's like do something for a half hour, you know what I mean, and just be free of it, let's just do a thing and then you can pick up your phone again and whatever. And, like, let's do a thing and just see what happens. I don't know if this would be appealing to them or not. And I think everyone would say, like, that's not going to appeal to them. That's what an old man wants to do. But I don't know. I don't know if, like, we're all as in touch with the younger generation as we think. I mean, whatever. If it fails, it fails, right? But anyway, I just think that people are going to, like, return to the real a little bit. I don't know, like... You hear podcasts all the time where they do people by Skype, and I've, like, I think only done that a couple times. It's just, I don't like it. Like, it's not the same feeling. It's not the same energy. It doesn't work. This is the other thing about, like, teleconferencing shit. It still doesn't really work. Like, it still always has bugs in it, it seems like. Whenever we try it at work, there's always something wrong, and it's so difficult to diagnose the problem. And I think partially out of politeness. I think partially we're all polite, so we don't want to say, like, oh, you know, that's because you're doing this, and then be an asshole. But on the other hand, that's kind of what it takes, right? Like, it seems like you just have to be a little bit more of an asshole on the phone, because you just have to outright say, like, I think that your end is fucked up. So, I don't know. Troubleshoot it. Fix it. It's just horrible. You know, Poon Master Flex and I FaceTime. And it's, like, hard to tell, like, when it's not working, what the problem is. You know what I mean? It's hard to diagnose because you're like, is it my internet speed? Is it her internet speed? Is it computer speed? Is it her computer speed? Is it, you know what I mean? Do I have, like, 50 things going at the same time? Do I have nothing else going? Like, what's happening? Hey, 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 what's going on? I watched Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome on the plane. It was the only Mad Max movie I hadn't seen in its entirety. And now I know why people don't like it. Because the first half hour to 40 minutes is pretty good. Like Thunderdome, Two Men Enter, One Man Leaves, Master Blaster, all that shit. I liked that. I thought that was great. I mean, it's nuts. But it's good nuts, you know what I mean? They've got Bartertown, which basically runs on pig shit, which is awesome. The whole thing is good. The whole first part is good and sets up this good world. Even Tina Turner, I was like, all right, fair enough. I don't know why. I don't know why it's Tina Turner, but I'm fine with that. But then, you know, Mad Max... gets basically exiled or whatever. They put him on a horse, slap the horse's ass, they put this like mask over his head so he can't see which way he's going, and then just send him off into the desert, and the horse just walks until it dies. And also, he had to spin the wheel of fate and he got gulag, which I was like, I thought that was like a work prison, basically. But I guess that means you just go off somewhere and whatever. But, like, the beginning has all these great set pieces, you know? It's got the Thunderdome. It's got the wheel of fates or whatever that you have to spin when you fuck up, basically. It's got, you know, and it's got all the choices on there, and you're like, all right, I'm down with this. It's got good stuff. And then when he's in the desert, he happens upon this, like, group of kids that apparently some guy flew them out in a plane, was trying to get them out of the city or something when, you know, an atomic blast happened, which is how we end up in Mad Max world or whatever. Australia, as it's also known. Post-apocalyptic Australia. And, so all, you know, this guy took them out, the plane crashed, a bunch of them survived, and, you know, now they, like, are waiting for the return of Captain Whoever. And, they think that Mel Gibson is Captain Whoever, and he's like, no, I'm not that guy. And they're still totally convinced, and different things happen that convince them. And then basically he ends up becoming their, like, surrogate father figure and making everything work for them for no real reason. And it just seems like a violation of the, I don't know. He doesn't seem crazy, you know what I mean? Doesn't seem crazy, and also doesn't seem like a... It's not as compelling, you know what I mean? I think the crazy Mad Max is a lot more compelling than the, like, compassionate Mad Max. And you want him to be, like, in the new movie, Fury Road, he was, like, he was compassionate, but not immediately. You know what I mean? Not... He was fully intended to leave all those, like, whatever sister wives behind and was not going to rescue them, but kind of had no choice. And even then, it's like a very uneasy truce, and then they kind of earn... They all earn each other's trust, right? But it takes a while. And that's hard to do in a movie, but, man. Holy shit. Also, I think that when you have a bunch of kids in a movie, it doesn't, boy, that just doesn't work a lot. Unless it's a kid-centric story. You tell The Sandlot, obviously you need kids in there, right? But, does a Mad Max story need a bunch of kids in it? I don't know. Unless they're war boys, which weren't really kids, but who's counting? But yeah, it was, oh god, after the first like 40 minutes, the whole thing falls apart. It doesn't even make sense anymore. And like the sort of climax is pretty unsatisfying. It doesn't really make sense. You know, this guy, this kid fly off with all these other kids, and you're like, well, I guess he's not going to eat them, but I don't know why. I don't know. This guy, like, fucked Mad Max and took all his camels and his caravan at the beginning and then flew off with all his shit and left him to die in the desert. And luckily he made it to Bartertown and he was, like, gonna kill this dude. And it's sort of like, well, he would just leave this stranger to die in the desert. I don't know why he wouldn't just, like, dump a bunch of kids out the bottom of his plane and be like, eh, fuck off. There we go. Also, I think it's the same actor who's in the very first one is, like, Max's partner. Then he's in the second one, and he also has, like, a flying machine. Then he's in this third one. And it's sort of, like, weird. Like, the Mad Max movies all seem to exist separate from each other. Like, Mad Max is a repeating character. This guy was, like, a repeating character, except that he wasn't the same character. You know what I mean? He, like, had the same things going on, but he wasn't the same actual guy, I guess. Is the closest, that's the best guess I can give of what's going on. So, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, I give like 2 thumbs up out of a possible 10. Or, you know, I don't know. It's sort of like a movie like that. You think about it and you're like, well, I guess this is like a two-hour movie. And almost half of it is, like, really good. And then the other half is really bad. It's almost like maybe they ran out of money or didn't know what to do or something. Or they're like, well, we don't want to make this just like the first one. Or the second one, sorry. We don't want to make this just like the second one. So how can we make it a little different?
I think it's kind of more fun to watch too, though, because after you've seen Fury Road,
you see Fury Road, and there's an extent to which it feels like that movie comes out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Which is what makes it sort of awesome. And then you can go back and watch these and be like, I see, like, even some of the musical stings and stuff, like, where some of this came from, or, like, him kind of wandering off at the end and just, you know, nomadic whatever is, like, makes sense. The whole thing is I don't know. It's a weird, like, loose rural universe, right? Where some things seem to go through the movies and some don't. And I'm okay with that. I feel like, you know, if he had to be the same guy every time, it wouldn't be as good. Like, if I had to watch Fury Road and that Mad Max had to be basically the same guy from the end of Thunderdome, I'd be like, I don't know. Although, I would not mind, to be honest with you, seeing a very, like, an older, very grizzled Mad Max. I mean, I feel like maybe that was in the works at one point, you know, before Mel Gibson went fucking nuts and they were going to do that. I just think that would have been a great movie, and it sucks. It sucks that he had to be crazy and ruin that. You know, like a Lethal Weapon reuniting. And the whole thing about that stuff was they were too old for this shit, right? And it's like, now they're actually too old for that shit. You don't see these movies with, like, old guys in them except if that's what they are. You know what I mean? It's space cowboys, so it's like, these old guys are, like, Las Vegas, and it's like, here's the premise. These super old guys are doing shit. It's kind of like these movies that are almost like The Hangover, but for old guys. I mean, that seems to be kind of the formula. They're like, well, can we round up De Niro or Pacino? And someone's like, I can do you one better. We can probably get both. You know, it's like we finally get De Niro and Stallone in the boxing ring together, and it's when they're both, like, 65. You're like, this is... I know that, like I said, this is what I wanted at one time, Raging Bull and Rocky in the ring together, but this is not what I wanted. I know I said that's what I want. It's like kind of like when you get that monkey's paw, and it gives you your wishes, but then it twists them and makes them evil and dark versions of your wishes, because, you know, I didn't specify enough. It's kind of like, I feel like that's what that movie was. And then they're like, well, how do we make it funny? I don't know, throw Kevin Hart in there. And I'm just like, okay. I think that, like, Kevin Hart is supporting so many terrible movies that, you know, they're just like, well, can we have someone with a personality in here to maybe, like, I feel like this is sagging most of the movie. So who's someone, like, high energy we can get in here? And they're like, how about Kevin Hart? And it's like, all right. Or, you know, like, you know, it was like that was Jumanji. Because it looked like you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who also kind of does the same thing. Like, I mean, if you look at the movies he makes, he's sort of, like, generic hero guy, right? He's just generic, well, he's super ripped. I believe that he could just, like, catch a spinning helicopter blade and rip it from the helicopter. Like, any feat of strength you want to put him to, I believe he can accomplish, so it's kind of open season. How he has not been in a superhero movie yet, I do not know. It seems like they want to do, like, they're more interested in those in, like, turning someone who's of average sort of stature and stuff into a superhero.
Hey, that's like part of the marketing for it, you know? They're like, oh yeah, because then
you get your Chris Pratt is on the cover of, you know, Men's Health. And it's like, what turned him from a Star Crunch lover into a Star Lord? That's pretty terrible, but you know what I mean. Maybe that's part of the whole gimmick, because it's like, well, we turned... I saw one that was like when The Rock was in Conan. I think he was in Conan, right? A remake of Conan or something. Some kind of barbarian movie. And it was like the workout he used to get in shape for this, and I was like, what is he getting in shape for? Like, in what way is he not in shape for... You know what I mean? He seems to be perpetually in incredible shape that would work for anything. I don't know that there's, you know, you know what he would not work for is if you were like, I want to make a movie, although this would be really funny if it was a comedy, I think, is if he was in, you know, they just work in an office and The Rock is just there and he's like in these, you know, button-up short-sleeve shirts that are just like impossibly not fitting, like they're impossibly tight across his chest and stuff, and you just see the definition of the muscle. And I think it'd be so funny if that was happening and just nobody commented on it. You know what I mean? No one said a... It just seemed like it hadn't even occurred to people to think that he was like, why do I... How is this guy this ripped? Because there's no way that guy could exist in real life without being constantly bombarded with, like, questions or, like, you know, what's your workout routine? People that I, you know, have talked to at work, like library users, often ask me things like, you know, if I'm still hitting the gym or whatever, because I'll see him there, you know? And I'm like, yeah, sure I am. And it's like, okay, if that's happening to me because they saw me there one time, what must be happening to The Rock? Like, doesn't everyone want to know? Like, what's your secret, The Rock? And it's probably like, well, I mean, I've been working out as a profession for the last 25 years. And you're like, all right. All right. I believe that. But yeah, it's like he's too ripped to do anything, I guess. You know, a lot of times you'll have that type of guy will take a turn for the dramatic and we'll see what happens. Or like a lot of comedic actors will do that.
I think he's totally poised for it because I think it would be great to see, like...
Hey, what if he did this movie where, I don't know, this very heartfelt, serious movie where not much happens. Like, he doesn't even drive a car. And, how does that turn out? But, I mean, he must have been offered something like that by now. I sometimes wonder, too, if, like, actors get in a point where their career where it's like... I mean, this sounds way more fun. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like in the jungle with, what's his name? Master Bruce. Fuck. Well, doesn't matter. You know who I'm talking about. Riding on a CGIB. Luis Guzman's going to be there. We'll do some light stunt work. Most of it's going to be green screen. And then you'll just be on your way. And it's like, that sounds a lot more fun than like, well, we're doing a drama about a young girl who grows up in kind of ruralish Indiana and yearns for something more. And you would play her sort of school psychologist who, you know, helps her, but then turns out to be helping her for his own selfish reasons. And that causes strife between them. And you're like, okay. Well, I don't know about that. But yeah, I think it'd be great anti-casting, right? If you just cast The Rock as just like, I just need kind of an office drone. You know, or like, if The Rock was, if we recast The Office and The Rock was like, who's the most side of side characters? Who's the most background? Creed or something? Or if he was like Stanley... Because Stanley's not, like, weird. He's just kind of always there, right? But if no one had ever mentioned that he was, like, super ripped, would have been especially great on that show because they're always talking about everyone's, you know, attributes that they probably don't want to talk about. So it'd be extra hilarious if it's, like, the one guy who's got something that to write home about and they're like, oh, I guess he is in pretty good shape. I'd never really thought about it before. Man... Sometimes you get overtaken by a truck like that, and you know that that guy knew that I was going to go around this truck, right? And so he's going to, like, blast ahead so he doesn't have to wait. Annoying. Everyone's annoying. Everything is awful. Everything's not cool because I'm made out of cream. I'm not made out of cream. That's not true. All right. Well, I can see the city in the horizon. And I've got a raging fucking headache from this gum graft shit. I gotta go and get it looked at tomorrow. Going to the periodontist. I gotta go two more times, because I gotta go once. This time they just kind of poke it and say, like, okay, it doesn't look horribly infected. And then the next time, I get the stitches out. And which is surprisingly painful, but also great, because then you're done. You know what I mean? You're like, I am done. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll do some more tomorrow. Maybe I'll have... If I have something to talk about between now and tomorrow, we'll do this. Not that that's ever stopped me before. All right. See you next time.